episode number 35, Ministering to Special Needs Families with Marie Cupp. Here we go, tribe.
This is the Kidman Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids' worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids' ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Kidman Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble. So glad you're here. One of the greatest ministry needs in our community today is to have churches that are focused on helping families with children who have special needs. What should a church be doing to reach this great need and to reach the families? And today I'm excited to welcome Marie Cupp from Nathaniel's Hope to the podcast. You're going to love Marie and the great insight she brings to this important ministry need. Marie Cupp is an ordained minister who's previously served more than 10 years in youth ministry with churches in Chicago, Minneapolis, and Orlando. As the executive director of Nathaniel's Hope, she oversees the full-time ministry staff and hundreds of volunteers from throughout the country. Marie passionately advocates to and trains churches how to practically welcome and include those with disability to their congregations. She's the former co-host of Today's Family, a TV show, and is taught in the Department of Communications at North Central University. She speaks to audiences throughout the country and is affectionately known as a mom on a mission. You're going to love her. Don't miss a single moment of today's podcast. Share it with all your friends. Really dig in. And as you're getting ready to fall, say, Lord, how can we use this in our ministries? I hope you're ready for the tribe today. We're going to jump in with Marie right after this.
Hey friends, Carl Barnhill here. If you are a kids ministry leader and you need some quick visuals for your kids services, I'd love for you to check out our kids media library at 1230kids.com. We have over 10,000 pieces of media content that you can download either a la carte or through our annual subscription. We have 10 product lines of visuals, including games, mini movies and Bible story videos, themed packs, countdowns, worship videos, social media content, and more. You can start downloading today at 1230kids.com/go for Go Unlimited. That's 1230kids.com/go.
Well, hello, Kidman Tribe. My name is Jason Noble. I'm your host, and I'm so excited to have Marie Cupp from Nathaniel's Hope. She is the CEO. I think that's your title, the CEO, the lady in charge. And I'm so excited to be able to talk about what we can do as a church to reach special needs families in our community, some ideas, some thoughts. And Marie, I think you're the expert on it. Will you tell us a little bit of your journey, what brought you to what you do and what you do?
Sure. Okay. And all in 30 seconds now.
No, take your time.
Okay. I'm with Nathaniel's Hope. It's a ministry that we started because of a little boy named Nathaniel who came into our life. He was our third child who was born with multiple disabilities. He kind of threw us into the whole community that we weren't prepared to be a part of. You know, I had been in full-time ministry for 10 years working with youth and had kids with disabilities around me, but didn't really understand the journey until our son came in. And when he came in, his care was 24/7. It was just extreme. And I felt like I got put on a shelf, but really I was in a classroom for 4.5 years. And we were blessed and challenged with caring for him. And then he unexpectedly had a change of address and moved to heaven. And after he left us, my husband and I both felt like this wasn't the end, but it was the beginning. And God wanted us to steward our journey with our son and being in a whole disability community. And out of that came Nathaniel's Hope. And so our mission at Nathaniel's Hope is to celebrate and cheer on families that have kids with disabilities who we call VIPs, because I hate the term disabled and handicapped. They're kids with value and incredible purpose, as well as educate and equip the community, but primarily the church with ways to assist and pull alongside, you know, the VIP community and cheer them on their journey. So that's kind of what we do.
In that 4.5 years with Nathaniel, what was one thing God really taught you? I mean, obviously there was many, but like you walk out going, okay, this is the one thing. Because I mean, many children's leaders have difficulties like that in challenging times. What was the one thing God taught you through that process? Kind of one thing that sticks out.
One thing. I mean, you know, there's obviously his faithfulness, but I think I think he showed us the power of the powerless, you know, the how he could take a little life that was broken, a little boy who never walked or talked or ate with his mouth, you know, and just the purpose that he could weave through this boy, you know, just, you know, like, I mean, I always say, like, with people, a lot of times people say, well, with a person with a disability that can't, or isn't mobile, can't talk, can't do these things, what can they teach you? I mean, he taught us about, you know, God's unending compassion and mercy. You know, he taught us how to love unconditionally. You know, he taught us all these things like that. So for a little boy that would appear by the world standards to be a little broken boy, God used in incredible ways to teach us, you know, in that journey. I mean, obviously, being on the journey was incredibly hard. You know, I mean, the things that families face that have kids with disabilities, it's a 24/7 journey for families, you know, and in many cases, they never get a break. They're always, you know, in our case, when Nathaniel was born, we had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And so we were trying to manage that, you know, whole journey with them. And, you know, a child that didn't sleep all night, that was in and out of hospitals. And it suddenly kind of really messes with your family life, you know?
Oh, yeah, in a big way. I could only imagine. Wow. Well, and that kind of segues into, you know, when churches take a focus and say, hey, we want to be a church that can help families with VIPs, that can help families, you know, like, what does that look like? What are some of, I want to dig into that today. Like, what can we do? As a church, you know, it takes me back when I was a children's pastor in California. There was a church up the road in Sacramento that had a special needs ministry that literally families would drive in 3 and 4 hours from around to be a part of, because it just, the church had not done a good job in general of reaching families. I think the church doesn't know what to do. Like, how do we integrate them in? That's not part of our training. So that's what I'm going to dig into today. What do you think are some of the big challenges? You know, dig into it, help us to know like where to start. I know it's a big conversation, but like, I think start out with like, okay, what are some of the challenges that we're facing with families that have disabilities? How do we get into their world? How do we get into their mind? What are they looking for in a church?
Right. Well, I think first of all, they're just looking to be accepted in the church. You know, I can tell you about the number of families that contacted us that churches have said, sorry, we can't take care of your kid. We're not equipped. Go look at this church down the street, which, I mean, the church down the street is great if they're doing a great job, but every church should have kids with disabilities in it. I always say like this, you've got the body of Christ. And if you cut out kids with disabilities, it's like you're cutting off the nose, you're cutting off the earlobe, you're cutting off a part of the body that God wants to use to teach us, you know, and can cause us to grow in our faith and walk. But oftentimes the first thing is just welcoming families to let them know like, hey, we're so happy you're here. We may not know what we're doing, but we are happy you're here. And we want to journey with you together, you know? So I know a lot of times churches think, well, we just aren't at that place that we can have the special needs room and we can have all of these bells and whistles and things to minister this community. And I'm like, you don't need all that. You know, what you need to do is first of all, just say, I'm so happy you're here. I'm glad you're here. And let's figure out what's going to work for your child, because disability is so different for every child. A child who has autism, even on the spectrum, you can have really high functioning kids and you can have very low functioning kids. So the needs are going to be so different even within that spectrum. Or you have kids with physical disabilities that are coming in. You can have kids that are hearing impaired. I mean, the list can go on and on. So it's not like you can say, well, here's how we're going to make a room and we're going to make this work for kids. It's just like you and I are so unique in how God's made us. He's made all these kids very unique. So really the key is just to, when a family comes in, you know, take a breath, don't freak out and just you begin to understand, like, how do I sit down with this parent and talk to them about what can we do as a church to help Johnny feel like this is home, you know? Good. And yeah.
Take us into the mindset of what families and parents might be facing as they're walking into the church, so that we know kind of as leaders. I think that's a fascinating question. Like, help us to know, because many of us have never been in that spot. So what are families like? What's their mindset when they walk in the door? You know, what are they looking for in addition to welcome? You know, give us that idea of what that kind of looks like.
Right. Well, you know, to back up a second, parents have to fight for everything. They have to fight insurance companies. They have to fight school systems. They have to fight for services. So when they come into the church, I mean, they're hoping they're not going to have to fight the church to allow their child to be a part of that. You know, that's something very basic from the very beginning.
That is fascinating. that alone is, I mean, that is such a key right there, right?
Right. I mean, just being welcoming. So from the beginning, like, you know, when they're first pulling up and, you know, think about, well, of course, if a child has a handicap accessible sticker, then obviously they're going to be able to park a little closer. But sometimes a family might have a special need. They have a child who's a runner, but they don't have a sticker for their car. So even having parking outside that says, you know, special parking for special needs families, you know, yeah, like that. Yeah. Yeah. And then as they come in, you know, how are those first point people, how are they prepared to greet the families? Are they like, oh no, I don't know what we do. I don't know if we have a place for you, but to, you know, welcome and say, we're so happy you're here. Like training those first point people in responding to somebody who comes in with a disability. And then, you know, if they're being directed over to the children's department, having the children's department ready to receive. And a lot of cases, I know on a Sunday morning, if you are short on volunteers and it's just, and you have more than your share of kids coming in, that God has just blessed you with an incredible amount of kids. And then you have a child show up that has some unique needs, you know, you're beginning to sweat and say, what am I going to do? You know? But I mean, those are real reality things. But when they do show up, they may have a physical disability or a disability that's seen, or sometimes it's unseen. So I know, like from the first point, when families come in and you have some kind of registration for first time visitors, asking a simple question on your little form is, does your child have an IEP? If they're in the school system and they have an IEP, that's an individual education plan, that means that they're already getting some special accommodations in the school system. So already that's going to be a signal to you that this child might need a little bit more support, you know, and they may check that off. Or you could ask the question, does your child need any special accommodations? You know, and they may write it. But sometimes parents don't want to reveal because they're afraid if they do reveal that they're not going to be welcome. So those are like two little trick questions that can do.
Okay.
But if they do check it off, then I would say, you know what, the next day or later on, depending on what the status is of everything, is to get on a phone and call the parent and say, hey, we're so glad Susie was with us yesterday. I noticed they've got an IEP. Can you tell me about that? You know, and how can we as a church, how can we work together to make this the best place for Susie? You know, but just starting in ways like that.
Because chances are they had to probably fight for that IEP, right? I mean, like...
Oh. They have to fight for everything, you know, for everything, you know, but when they come into church, so if you're having one of those mornings that, you know, it's great if you can have somebody on standby that can be available. So if you notice somebody that might need some extra support, that you can have a volunteer that you can text or just be on standby to just offer that support. So you're not taking a child and putting him in a classroom with a lot of kids and asking the teacher to manage all of that. But sometimes if you have one of those mornings that you're short on help, you know, to ask the parent and say, hey, would you be willing to sit with your child today? You know, never communicate, sorry, we're full, we can't take you. And we've had people tell us at churches, we'll tell them that, sorry, we've met our quota for your type of kids, you know, that type of thing. But you're just doing everything you can to let them know, we're so happy you're here. We want you to be here, but you know, you're going to have to help us on this journey, you know, being humble about it. I know sometimes families don't want to reveal, or they want their child to be treated like everybody else. Most parents don't want their child to be thrown into the special room. They want their child to be integrated with all the other kids. Now there's times if a child has behavioral challenges that you might have to have a space that you can put, you know, remove them into that setting to help them calm down so that, you know, they don't get violent and hurt other children or other volunteers that are there. But most parents want their children to be like every other child, you know?
Wow. So would you speak to integration versus having like a special room? Because I think that's...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I think most of the time inclusion is always what we aim for. And by inclusion, I would mean that the child gets an opportunity to do what all the other kids do with them, not separating them out. Now, there may be times when you do have to separate kids out, you know, I mean, so if you have inclusion, if you have the model of inclusion, like, okay, Johnny's going to be with all the other kids, then you probably have to think about having a buddy with them, somebody that's going to kind of be their shadow, their sidekick, somebody with them to just navigate them through. Because if you're having worship and music and the music is loud, maybe they just need a pair of headphones to put on to help tone it down. Or maybe you need to pull them out because there's, you know, whatever the study is, too many sensory things. You may need to pull them out of the room for a few minutes and let that pass. And then, you know, when it becomes more sensory friendly, bring them back in. So if you talk about having a space or a room, it's not to necessarily put those kids in the room because they have a disability, but it's maybe just a space like, hey, it's a safe space that maybe we need to go there for a few minutes because of all the distractions and sounds that are going on. And in that room, you may have, and I'm talking very much lay terms because, you know, for me, I've been in ministry. I'm not a special ed teacher, but I'm a mom on a mission, but yes. I've learned a lot of practical stuff along the way, right? So in that room, if a child is just like suddenly their behavior is escalating and, you know, then they're just going to have that, you know, burst, breakdown, whatever that is. Like, so the point is you want to figure out how do we de-escalate them? Like, how do we calm them down? So if you have things that appeal to their senses, maybe to sight, to sound, to touch, like sensory items, and you have that in a small room or an area, or if you don't have a room, maybe you have a box of sensory items and there's just a place that you can pull them on the side or the back of the room and things that they can appeal to their senses, that'll normally help them kind of de-escalate and kind of calm down. And then you can bring them back down. I mean, sometimes I've seen it before where there's a box, like an old refrigerator box that's a little bit sheltered in the back of a classroom or a teepee that they can kind of go in and just shelter a little bit. But it's like, but you're just kind of helping them cope in the environment. Now, if a child is very violent, I mean, we've seen biters, we've seen kids that are just more aggressive in their behavior, then probably you do have to have a space where maybe they need to spend time in to keep everybody safe, you know. But in that case, you know, I always say, let's think about reverse inclusion. Like, how do you maybe just pass some kids by or to even for a few minutes to be with them, you know, so that we're not showing that Johnny's in this corner because he's a bad kid, you know, like that.
Right. Oh, that's so good. Well, and I, you know, you bring up such a good point about how to include and how to, you know, it's interesting. We have a little guy at our church who, you know, even changing, like we changed our kids' church room and no one thought to bring him in ahead of time to get him prepared. And like, okay, when he walked in the room, he freaked out because it was something completely new. And we learned quite a lesson. Yeah. Like, okay, we have to make sure for this little guy, whenever there's major change, like we're going to bring him in. So we moved back the room. We actually brought him in the week before to say, okay, we've moved it back in. We want you to get used to it, you know, and that would avoid a lot of issues. So really thinking, almost you encourage churches to say, okay, we're going to create an IEP for the kids while they're here. Almost the thinking, maybe, you know, I don't know how that would work, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, I encourage spiritual IEPs. Again, that's sitting down with the parent. And that's why you have to include the parent. You can't just say, oh, I have to figure this out all by myself. Right. But you sit down with the parent and say, okay, what is it that we want Melissa to be learning here? What is it that we want to focus in on like this quarter, you know, and what can we do together? But also you brought a good point. A lot of kids like that routine. So the routine and even like saying, giving them warnings like, hey, you know, having little visual timers and saying, well, this timer goes out, we're going to be moving to another activity. You know, we're going to be moving to the next thing or even having a storyboard, like just having pictures, you know, for kids to say, okay, first we're going to pray and then we're going to sing, just showing them pictures so that they kind of know what's going to happen. And if you are going to take them out of routine, you do have to prepare them, you know. And you mentioned about the space, which was, that was brilliant that you guys did that. But even if kids are coming in new to the ministry, having them come in when kids with anxiety, which is not seen, you know, it's not a thing you can usually see, but the family says, yeah, he's got anxiety, bringing them in when there aren't kids there and having them walk around, ask questions and say, where do you feel comfortable to sit? Or is there, if you're feeling like anxious, what can we do? Like, is there a symbol or a code or something that you can tell the teacher so that they know, you know, but there's just like little things. But again, that doesn't work for every child, right? Like that's a child that may have this specific disability. And that's why you can't say, well, we work with kids with disabilities. This is what you do. Here's the three easy steps.
Right. Well, and luckily we have such a good relationship with the parents, with that little guy, that we could sit and talk and we'd figured it out together. And, you know, I think that that's really one of the keys. What do you think when you look at parents, what do you think parents are looking for in a ministry? Like, what are they, how can we reach the parents too? You know, because I know a lot of parents are tired, they're worn out. You know, how do we help it? How does a church help that aspect too?
That's a great question. So really disability affects the whole family. So a lot of times we think, okay, how do we keep this child How do we minister to this child on Sunday morning? But really, it's the whole family. Like when we had Nathaniel and we were in the hospital with him and our daughters couldn't go to church because we were in the hospital, we couldn't get them to church. We just couldn't pull it all together. Like they had some unique needs that had to happen, you know? So always looking at the family unit and think, well, how does this affect whatever the disability is or wherever this family is in life? How does it affect the siblings? And what can we do to just give attention to the siblings a little bit more? But you were hitting on it with moms and dads. I mean, so often they are exhausted because they're doing this 24/7 and they don't necessarily need another activity at church, but they just really need a break, you know? So we have found one of the greatest things that a church can do is provide something called respite care, which is kind of a parent's day out for kids with disabilities. And basically it's just like saying, hey, we'll hang out with your kids for a few hours once a month to give you a break, you know? And if you can believe this, so that's one of the things that we do at Nathaniel's Hope. We provide a program called Buddy Break, and we train churches how to do respite care. And time again, we hear how families say, like, it's been 10 years. We've never had a date night because we couldn't leave our child with anybody because oftentimes you can't call the girl down the street to babysit because she's going to be intimidated, not feel equipped. You know, you got other siblings. So when a church can open their arms and say, we love you, we care, we want to take care of your child for 3 hours to give you a break. I mean, that speaks volumes to the family, right? And then it kind of gives the kids a place to belong because oftentimes some of these kids, even though we try, they're not invited to the birthday parties. They're not included with other kids. So it gives them community. It is a great missions outreach because people in the community are saying, you know, I need help. And they're looking for help. And the church says, here, we care. We care about your child. We want to take care of you. And then also it trains volunteers. I think it's one of the greatest training grounds to take people that have never worked with kids with disabilities and let them play with them for 3 hours, you know, and help them gain confidence, get over their fear, and then use those volunteers then on Sunday morning, you know. So it does a lot of different things like that.
Totally. Well, and what I love, what I heard you say is you guys do training for this. So talk to me, because I feel like people need a go-to like Nathaniel's Hope. Talk to me about what you guys offer through the ministry and how people can plug in.
Yeah. So basically we have it's a turnkey program called Buddy Break, and we've trained churches in 37 states. We have hundreds of churches. And basically we've come up with the whole structure and we just teach you how to use it. So everything from an online database that we offer that kids can their parents register them. So you have a 7-page profile on the child. So you can read all about the child. The people that are going to volunteer can read all about it. But we do training online. So everything is, and we also have on-demand training. So if a church was interested, they can take their leaders who are going to lead the program, and we train them how to run the program. It's about a 6-hour training. So it's not for the faint and heart. Right. But it deals with risk management, safety, disability sensitivity. I mean, all the things that we put together, all the pieces, whether it's advertising, whether it's the how to do an orientation, how to train your volunteers. We've put it all together, and then we give you training to train your volunteers. So we train the leadership team, and then we give them training to train volunteers. And the thing that the thing that we want to walk this journey with churches, because we think it's too overwhelming to say to a church, hey, you should do a respite program and here's how to do it. And then here, so we want to walk the journey. If they need support, great. If they don't need support, great, you know, but we want to be there to help them. So we have churches, our longest standing church has been going for 20 years. They started when we first, I mean, sorry, 17 years. We started Buddy Break 17 years ago, and they've had several changes in leadership in that 17 years. But because of our on-demand training, they just, when they know a leader is going to be moving out, they identify a new leader, put them through the training, and they just kind of pick up where they left off. So we'd like to see the seamless ministry go on, you know, for years to come after that. So we're able to do that. We're very happy to do that. And it works.
Yeah, no, totally. And where do people find that at?
They can find it at our website at nathanielshope.org, or if you do buddybreak.org, you'll get to that as well. But we do monthly. So we have the on-demand training or monthly. We do monthly trainings if you want to be live. It's recorded, but we talk in between. We answer questions in between. And then if a church chooses to say, yes, I want to do Buddy Break, we have a coach on staff that's available, not 24/7, but, you know, pretty much every day is available. We have a Facebook group that churches can talk to each other, share best practices. I mean, we're trying to just make sure that churches don't, leaders don't burn and fizzle out and say, I can't do this. This is hard. You know, we want to help cheer them on the journey. But I can tell you on the other side of it, the reports that we hear is just the volunteers that are raised up. A lot of times new volunteers, you know, we tend to look at the same pool sometimes, right? Because 80% of like 20% of the people do 80% of the work, but we find that this program does bring new people in. We've seen top level executives, senior citizens, high school students, families come serve together. People that have just been sitting in the pew, not doing anything, that get excited to do this together or to just jump in and to serve. So wow. it's been cool. But we've thought through all the risk management, all the things you'd be like, you don't need to think about that. You need to do the ministry. So we want to make it easy for that to happen.
Totally.
And
oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and the beautiful thing about it, like in Central Florida here, we have 20 churches that participate. So if parents want to go to a different respite program every week, they can do that because all of their profiles are online. So if parents really need a break, we get churches working together in the community to care for kids. And we even had a family move from Orlando to Seattle, and we had a program up in Seattle area, and they walked right into a program up in Seattle, and it was like just like home for the kids. Wow. You know, with that.
Wow. You know, that's, and it's so amazing. I would bet if leaders want to see how this is done, they could even connect to go to one of the churches down in Central Florida and just watch it play out. I mean, so it's being done, it's being modeled, it's being, you know, and so this is a big, big pizza. Like I look at this as a big topic in the church. What's the first step? So if you're coaching leaders, like children's pastors who are going, okay, I want to do something, what would be your first step?
I would say, first of all, if you have kids with disabilities in your ministry and you've never done this, is to reach out to the family and say, hey, I want to know more about your child. Like I would just reach out to them and just make that relationship, you know, and just reach into them and then make sure that all of your kids are being taken care of, that you have a plan for every one of the individual children, you know, that are coming to your ministry. I would say that would be the first step. And then I would think about, okay, if somebody shows up on Sunday morning, how am I going to identify that they have a disability? And what do I do in that moment when they show up and I don't know what I'm doing before I can have the conversation
right.
with the parent,
right.
you know, like that. But then I would also say on the other side of it, we have churches that are doing nothing in disability ministry. And they will start Buddy Break. Like they will use that to launch their program, to identify their families and just start with who they have and launch it that way. Cause it's just a great way to build relationships. Cause really it's all about relationships. As you get to know the kids and the families, then you want to do more, you know, and it's kind of a springboard to do more, but and this is a community that really needs to be relationally involved because a lot of these families are isolated. They don't have support systems. You know, they don't have people reaching into their lives. Like they're pretty much, they're so involved in their child's care or in survival mode that they don't have the capacity to reach beyond that, to ask for help and to create a support system. So even during our respite programs, like I would love to ask parents, hey, what did you do during your break? It's sad, but some of them don't have friends. So I'll be like, did you go out for coffee with a friend? Well, I don't really have anybody. So in some cases, the parents are coming together at a program and they're going out for coffee and they're finding.
I was going to say, what a great opportunity.
It is. Yeah. We've had churches before where the pastor's office he's opened up his office and said, hey, we'll put coffee and donuts in here. Just let the parents come in and hang out and I'll hang out there with them, which has been really beautiful. In some cases, you know, I hear this over and over again. Parents are just going to sleep. They just like go in the parking lot, recline their chair and go to sleep in the parking lot. Number one, because they're exhausted. But number two, they want to be close enough because they're afraid that if their child needs help, they want to be there because they're not used to leaving them, you know? But I mean, it just becomes a great opportunity to connect with these families and build relationship. You know, over COVID, during COVID, we did a lot of creative things with the families. Like we would put encourage our churches to put posters on their lawns, you know, saying we love you, or do drive-bys or deliver pizzas to give them a dinner break, you know. But we would just try to be creative in how to love on them and to let them know that they weren't alone, that they weren't forgotten, you know, and that they were loved and cared for. So
what such great ideas. And, you know, as I was sitting there thinking, this is one area, kids leaders, where you've got to get the whole church on board. It can't just be you trying to do it. Like, you've got to sit down with your pastor, because like even getting the greeters ready to accept people walking in, I mean, it's a full church kind of strategy.
Yeah. And it can be a blessing, because, you know, you can get different, like, you know, Mother's Day is coming up, and we'll have churches, like, we'll go to our programs and say, hey, how are you going to bless the moms? Like, let's think about blessing the moms. And so a lot of the churches will do a special program for the moms that day during the respite program. They'll take care of the kids. They'll have the kids make things, you know, for mom. But then we'll bring in people to do manicures and have a luncheon for them. And the youth group will come and wash the cars. You know, the men's group at our church, they were taking the cars and going to fill them up with gas, because a lot of these tanks were on empty. But they were doing everything just to bless the moms. But then it became such a great opportunity for the church to rally together. And then what's going to happen? These kids are going to grow into teenagers, and teenagers into adults. So it can't stop because their child hits this age. Because right. Now we got to figure out how we're going to transition them into the next phase, you know, and allow them to have meaningful ministry. But getting the church involved, we're working on a new program called Nathaniel's Neighbor, kind of after Mr. Rogers, you know, but it's cool. Like, love God and love your neighbor. But yeah. So we have Nathaniel, our character, in, with a red sweater. And that's, we have, we're working on this. And the whole idea is to kind of to encourage churches to think about wraparound care around a family. So, like, you know, and this is kind of big right now with those with adoption and foster care. It's wraparound care is kind of a buzz thing that's happening. But it would be like, what if a group of individuals just said, hey, we're just going to wrap ourselves around this family, and we're going to, as a team, every week check in with them, maybe have a leader and check in with them. And what can we do? And out of this group, if there's like four people in a group, every week can one person make a meal for them every week, and they know they're going to get a meal. Or if I'm going to the grocery store, you know, can I call them and say, can I get something for you at the grocery store? Can I do your shopping for you? You know, do you need your lawn mowed? You know, do you need help with your car? I mean, what is it? Or do you just need somebody to care about you? Do you just need to vent with somebody? You know, do you have a prayer request? You know, what is it? So
I love that. And something you said that I think we have to keep in mind is their tanks are empty. So not only their fuel tank, but their emotional tank. And like, I mean, how do we fill that tank back up? And really what you're saying is find a need and meet it. Like, what are the needs? And I think as you dig in, you can find out as you talk to parents what the needs are. And then really, because like you said, it's not a one size fits all. It's not a ministry equation and we're going to have it solved. I mean, I think depending on where you're at, what you've got going on, it's one of those things that you almost need to be like looking at what the needs are for your own church and then right. How to meet those needs. You guys are doing something down in Orlando in 3 weeks. Tell us about that.
We are having the biggest party celebrating kids with special needs. So it started 21 years ago. So when Nathaniel, after he went to heaven, we couldn't do a birthday party for him anymore. So we decided to create a birthday party for kids with disabilities. So 21 years ago, we had a gathering in downtown Orlando. About 600 people. And we kind of did a walk around the lake, the center of our thing. And we did hot dogs and had a few exhibitors. So roll the tape forward. 21 years later, we're expecting over 3,000 kids with disabilities, plus their families, plus thousands from the community to come in and just love on these kids for about half a day. And we have like, fun zones and bounce houses. We take kids out of wheelchairs, and we have petting zoos and llamas and wow. Fire trucks. And it's really fun. In our community, it's a very big event. So we're getting ready for that. But we do one in Southern California now in partnership with the American Teaching Zoo. We've done five in Ohio and getting ready to do one in Greenville, South Carolina. So this could be a great outreach for a church to consider anchoring as well.
Totally. So. What an awesome.
Awesome. Hey, if you're looking for an excuse to come to Orlando this year, the first Saturday of May, May 6th, will be a great excuse to come down and see what's happening.
Yeah, sign me up. I'll always go to Orlando. Oh, and you have a book too. Tell us about your book.
Yes, I have a book. I've got it right here. My shameless plug here.
Not at all.
called Hope Lives. This is actually a little icon of our son. So there's a picture of him in here, but it's a little caricature of him. But Hope Lives is a really unique book. It's an easy read. It's written from a child's perspective. It's written from Nathaniel's perspective, from womb to heaven, talking about what it's like being on a journey as a child with a disability. So we kind of hit some tough topics, but help people understand what is a journey like for a child walking through that. So it would really be great for children leaders to read that to understand maybe about a community they're trying to reach. But also we have all kinds of little encouragement or little tidbits on how what you can do to walk alongside a family and how to really minister to them in their journey.
Get that book. It's a great book. I've read it and it really is. It's awesome. And I honestly believe that if Jesus was here today, he would be highly involved in this type of ministry with special needs.
You know? I think so.
I mean, look at like what he did with the people that had leprosy. And I'm not saying it's the same, but at the same point, like he was around people who were desperate and needed his help. You know,
right. Well, yeah. And in the book of Luke, it talks about when we're having the party or the feast, right? Well, you know, who to go out and find? Go out and find the lame, the maimed, the blind, and the crippled. You know, he's saying, Go out and get them and bring them in. So I'm with you on that, Jason.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we're going to get ready to wrap up here. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave people with?
Yeah. I mean, I would just really say that. Encourage you, challenge you not to be afraid of this community, you know, and to really be Jesus with skin on, you know, be his hands and feet to this community. And maybe, you know, you have, it's been a while, you've been in ministry a while, and you haven't ever reached out to this community, you know, intentionally. I would just look at your congregation and start with one, just target in on that family and maybe you need to say, hey, I'm sorry, I've never really, you know, and I mean, I've had to go back after I youth pastored for 10 years. And then after Nathaniel came and everything, I, you know, kind of felt shell. But after I walked the journey with Nathaniel, I've gone back and asked forgiveness to families that had kids with disabilities that I didn't do more. I didn't know, but it wasn't. But I should have tried to know more, you know, and I've gone back and asked for forgiveness. And now I know. So now I want to tell everybody, you need to know this community is out there, you know, and the blessing's going to come. It's like, yes, is it messy? Is it hard? Yes, it is. So I'm not going to lie about that. It's going to take extra effort to do that, but it's going to be well worth it. You're going to see God bless in incredible ways. It just happens. A blessing comes when you reach out to this community. They're going to bless you back. These kids are going to bless you back and these families in greater ways than you can ever imagine.
I love it. So one question before we wrap up, in that 4.5 years with Nathaniel, was there a church that reached out or did something well that you just go, man, that made all the difference?
You know, that's interesting. We were plugged at that point. We were plugged into a smaller church that was close to us so that we could go to church. And everybody really cared for us, but they didn't know what to do with us. But I could tell you that the things that they did do that were like, you know, when he had to spend the first 2.5 months of his life in the hospital, the women of the church, they would just provide all these meals, you know, and I was always the one on the other side doing it. So it was very hard to receive it, but it was a huge blessing that somebody cared about me. You know, we would have somebody sit outside our nursery window and come pray. They would just pray. They did knock on our door. They would just sit outside our window and pray. You know, our pastor, on many occasions, he had so many surgeries. We'd be leaving for the hospital surgery. Our garage door would go up at 5 a.m. and there he was sitting, you know, waiting to escort us to the hospital. You know, and it wasn't like any of these things. It was just the fact that people were with us. You know, we used to do little letters just to communicate what was happening, but just knowing that we weren't forgotten, we were a part. They may not have known everything that they could do. You know, I mean, like if I came on Sunday morning and his feeding tube blew out and I'm wearing his stomach contents all over me and I'm going in the van to sit there so that my family could go to church together. Well, that's just the way it was. But I knew that the church loved us and they were with us on the journey, you know? So I think you do what you can, you know, to just join with the families on the journey. So I was going to mention one other thing, Jason. We do every month, we do free webinars and free tidbits that we send out. So if anybody's interested, it's free. We're just trying to empower children's leaders to get trained, to not be afraid of this group. So we do different things on whether it's a certain disability or whether how to structure your classroom. I mean, just all kinds of things that are just like little tidbits, and that's free. And so if anybody's interested, that they could sign up for that. So
thank you so much. This has been such a great wealth of information just to be able to speak out. And leaders, do something with it. Don't just ignore, do something, find a family, start out with one family, you know, get into it. And there's no excuse for not, you know, I mean, I think in that perspective, you know, look at what you can do. I know sometimes people feel overwhelmed. Kids ministry is a big, a big job. It's a big thing that we put our hands to. But I want to tell you, take time out, find a leader, pray for somebody that God could send into your way to help with, that has a heart for this and that can really jump in. And so, hey, will you pray for our leaders before we go today?
Oh, I'd love to do that. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you, Lord, that you first loved us, Lord. And now we can go out and love, God, those that sometimes are difficult to love or make us feel uncomfortable, God, or sometimes we don't even know, Father, how to do it. But thank you that your love, God, can help overcome all that. Your grace is sufficient for all of us. God, I pray for my friends today, God, who, Lord, are in ministry, Father, and are trying to reach children and families, God. And Lord, I know, God, that they've got a lot on their shoulders, Father, but I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see that one, Father, and help them not to overlook that one, but go after that one, Father. And I pray that you'd bring in the resources that are needed, God, and that you would just help them, Father, overcome their fears, God, their inhibitions, Father, and they would be able to love well, God, as you have loved us, Father, those, Father, that need to be in our community, Father. So thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and thank you for your help and your strength, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So friends, go check out nathanielshope.org. I think that's the website, right? Go yep. check that out. Get plugged in. Find out what's happening. Marie, thank you so much for taking time out today. We'll see you next time on the Kidman Tribe podcast. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Marie, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for challenging us. Thank you for helping us to figure out what it looks like to minister to families with special needs in such a good way. Hey, listen, as I always ask you, wherever you're watching the podcast or you're listening to, on that platform, go and subscribe. Like the channel, give us a good review. We'd love to hear from you. Share it with all of your kids ministry friends. You can like us on Facebook at 1230 Kids. Share it with every Kidman leader you know. Help me get the word out. Do me a favor also, leave a comment and a review. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear what God's doing in your kids ministry. Write it at that podcast platform. Share your thoughts. Let us know who you are. You can also find us online at kidmantribe.com. That's our online home where we have our podcast. We have a bi-weekly blog that you can get some of the best kids ministry writing and training from world-class leaders that you can share in your kids ministry. There's also a place to get some great Kidman Tribe swag for you and for your volunteers. Let them know how much you appreciate being a part of your ministry and the ministry that's happening in kids at your church. Thank you for being a part. Listen, if you have future ideas, concepts, questions, things that you're struggling with, or you just need prayer, go to the mailbag, kidmantribe.com/mailbag. Let us hear from you. We want to hear from you, hear how you're doing, and want to hear how we can help you. Join us here in the next couple of weeks. We have a very important edition of the Kidman Tribe podcast coming. In 2 weeks, Matt Gorman will be joining me on the Kidman Tribe podcast. We're going to be talking about how we can extend Bible engagement with kids beyond Sunday, how they take it into their life Monday through Saturday. In kids ministry, how do we make the Bible something that's more engaging for our kids? Matt Gorman is a relationship manager for One Hope, an organization that has partnered with YouVersion and churches worldwide to create the Kids Bible experience through YouVersion. The Kids Bible experience is an in-app featured found on the home feed of the YouVersion Bible app and is designed to help children ages 7 through 11 develop a daily habit of engaging in God's Word. To date, One Hope has reached more than 1.9 billion. That's 1.9 billion children around the world with the life-changing message of the gospel of hope in Jesus. Prior to joining One Hope, Matt spent 12 years as a children's pastor at Fellowship Church in Grapevine, Texas. He was also part of the ongoing development of the Elevate Children's curriculum that serves churches around the world. You're not going to want to miss this. Matt has a deep passion for connecting with children's ministry leaders around the globe and inviting them to collaborate and innovate effective ways to help children and youth fall in love with God's Word. There's not anything that's more important, in my opinion. Bible engagement is the one thing that we have to get right when it comes to a child's spiritual formation. How do they take the Bible and apply it to their life? Don't miss Matt Gorman in 2 weeks on the Kidman Tribe podcast. I know you're going to be encouraged. I want you to know you're loved. You're appreciated. What you do changes lives for eternity. You're getting ready for this fall. I'm praying for you, praying that you'll have an incredible impact. Look for ways to reach families who are not in your church, who don't know Jesus yet. I want you to know I'm your biggest fan. I'm cheering you on always. You are my heroes. Go get them, tribe. I'll catch you in 2 weeks here on the Kidman Tribe Podcast. Thanks so much.
The Kidman Tribe Podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit KidmanTribe.com.